You were once a prisoner, held captive by fear, by prejudice, by sin, anger, addiction. But here's the thing, that prison no longer exists. Those walls have been torn down. What once held you captive now lays in ruins. You have been set free, redeemed, renewed, and God continues creating by bringing your soul to life. Where there was a prison, there is now a playground. Where there was despair, we find a wellspring of joy. Where there was death, we are given life. Christ has set us free. So live in that freedom. Lift your voice. Clap your hands. Find your joy and set it free. For you are a prisoner no longer.
So we're starting a new series today, and this series is called The 4th of July in January. I figured we celebrate Christmas in July sometimes, so why not celebrate the 4th of July in January? And this month, we're going to focus all about freedom. Because in the 4th of July, we celebrate freedom. And what I've realized as I've thought about and gotten ready for this lesson series is that what we celebrate in July and freedom is very similar to what happens for us every single year in January. See, freedom at its core is this incredible concept that gives us choices in the present and hope for the future. Freedom is this incredible concept that gives us choices for the present and hope for the future. And we understand this when it comes to 4th of July. Like, we have the freedom to make our own choices. We have the freedom to make choices that will give us hope for the future. And every year around January, we start getting asked the question in some form or fashion, what's your hope for this coming year? What's your hope for the future? And it's asked in the idea of New Year's resolutions, and it's asked in the idea of comparing last year to this coming year, and it's asked in the idea of what you want this year to look like. But at its core, we are asking ourselves and we are asking the people around us, all right, you've got this incredible year ahead of you that is full of freedom. What's your year going to look like? You can make choices now. You are free to make choices now, and you have hope for the future. Our family, on New Year's Eve, we sat down and we don't usually watch the ball drop. We usually like binge watch a TV show. This year it was the TV show Monk, and we watched a whole lot of Monk episodes, which was absolutely incredible. But one of the things that we did was we sat down at dinner together and we simply asked ourselves, what are you excited for this year? What are you most excited for in the year 2025? And we went around the entire table and everybody said what they're excited for. And it was things like chicken shows and Kirsten to get better and all kinds of stuff, soccer. And we just celebrated the hope that we had for this year. And so tonight, I simply want to focus on this idea of we have freedom, and freedom offers us choices now and hope for the future. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about freedom, and he's talking about the freedom that he offers people. And at this point, Jesus is talking to people in the temple. He's teaching at the temple. And the Bible says that kind of in passing often. It says Jesus was teaching in the temple, and we kind of read over that. But I think it's really important for us to understand what that actually means. What that means is Jesus was talking to people, he was teaching people that believed in God. Jesus was teaching people that had believed in God for generations. These were the great, 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 however many great grandchildren of the people that were freed of slavery from Egypt. These are the great, great, however many great grandchildren it was that God handed down the Ten Commandments on Moses, and these people started following God's law. These are the people that are like, we follow God and we make sure that we follow his rules and he is our king and we are free from slavery. We've been free for a long time. And Jesus says this. He said to the Jews who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Have you ever had one of those moments where somebody said something to you like they knew you better than you know yourself? And you were like, dude, you don't know me. You have no idea who I am. Like, you're talking to me like you know me, but you have no idea who I am, what I'm dealing with, or where I've been. This is the way that these people felt when Jesus said this right here. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. And these people were like, hold on, back up just a minute. We are free. Like, Jesus, maybe you don't know this, but we were once slaves in Egypt. We think you should know this. And we were set free. We're free of slavery. We follow only God. And we follow God by following his rules. And we have this entire list of rules. And we follow these rules. And so how dare you tell us that we are not free? And they kind of get really, really super angry at Jesus. And then Jesus says this. Jesus answered, I assure you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave isn't a permanent member of the household, but a son is. I want to pause right there, because Jesus is saying something here that those listening would have immediately understood. He's saying, listen, I know your past. I know your history. I know you were once slaves. I know you were free, and I know that you follow God's law, but here's what I also know, and this is the part that gets me personally. He says, you try so hard to follow God's law. And he uses this word sin, everyone who sins. To sin just means you're not perfect. You made a mistake. And he said, he's saying to them, listen, you try so hard, but you still make mistakes. And that's why probably as he was teaching, I imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I imagine that they were either preparing or they were sacrificing animals at the temple where he was teaching. And so in the background of this teaching, there are people that are reminded, oh yeah, I brought that animal because I wasn't perfect. And Jesus is saying, you try so hard to make up for your own mistakes. And you bring these animals and you're like, I'm gonna do it this time. I'm not gonna make a single mistake. I'm gonna be perfect. And you focus on making sure you don't make that mistake again. You try so hard. And I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but I tend to get focused on my mistakes. I like to be perfect. I want to be perfect. And I'm not. And when I'm not, when I mess up, like I really come down on myself pretty hard because I feel like I shouldn't be messing up. And Jesus is saying, you're trying so hard that what's happening is you're becoming a slave to the trying. You're like, I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to make that mistake again. And what happens is you end up focusing so much on not making the mistake that you make other things worse. You try so hard and you become a slave to the trying. And that's why he says everyone who sins, who messes up, who doesn't get everything perfect, is not a permanent member of the household. And then he says this, but a son is. And he's saying, listen, I'm the son, I'm a permanent member. And then he says this beautiful thing. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you are really free. If the son makes you free, you will really be free. This past week, well, I guess 2 weeks ago, we played a new board game that Luna, our daughter, got for Christmas. It's the Care Bear Care-A-Lot Journey. This board game is a pretty simple board game. You roll your dice, you move your character, I was Sleepy Bear, down the path, and your goal is to get to the very end and prove that you care the most out of everybody, which is awesome. I want to care the most. I want to be the winner of this game. So I was super pumped to play this game. Now, Tate had already played this game, and he warned me that there is this section right here. It's kind of near the beginning. And that is what I like to refer to it as the death loop. See, what happens in this section is anytime that you hit one of these rainbows, you have to slide on the rainbow. If it takes you forward, awesome. If it takes you backward, not so awesome. So what happened is, it's right here near the beginning. Like you come here, and then you come here, and then you get right here. And I would roll the dice, and I would land here, and I would slide back. And I'd be like, all right, I got to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got to get more than 6. And I'd roll the dice. And if I got less than 6, okay, cool, that's great. Because I'm focusing on not hitting the rainbow. I'm not going to hit the rainbow. I got less than 6. Next time, I'm going to do better. So I get less than 6, and I'm still right here. And everybody else is marching their way toward the finish line, proving that they care a whole lot more than I do, which is not cool at all. And so then I roll again. And you know what? Before I roll, I'm like, all right, I got to roll 1, 2, 3. I got to roll more than a 3. And I roll the dice. It's a 3. And I slide back down. And I start the whole thing over. And I tell you what, I did this 5 or 6 times. Like when I say 5 or 6 times, I mean I landed on the rainbow 5 or 6 times. That may have taken 2 or 3 rolls to get to the rainbow, but I landed on the rainbow 5 or 6 times. And so I'm stuck back here in the death loop and everybody else is up here further along in the game. And what I find is that in my own life, I get stuck in the death loop. I get stuck in this moment where I'm so focused on not making the mistake that I make the mistake again. I'm so focused on not making this particular mistake that I'm not focusing on anything else in my life, and I mess up other stuff. And then I get so focused on not messing up that other stuff that I'm not focusing on anything else in my life, and I mess up some other stuff. And it's this death loop that we get ourselves stuck in. We're so focused on trying harder, being perfect. And what happens is we become a slave to the trying. We don't have true freedom. I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but when I get stuck in that, I am so focused on the mistake that I made in the past that I have no hope for the future. I get so stuck on the mistake and the place where I've messed up that I'm not even thinking about my future. I'm just focused back here in the past. But the truth is that freedom was never meant to be lived focusing on the past. It wasn't. We're set free from the past. Freedom was always meant to be lived with the future in mind. Now hear me, that doesn't mean we don't improve. That doesn't mean we don't learn from our mistakes. What it does mean is that we take our mistakes, we learn from them, and we say, I'm going to move forward. And we don't get stuck in this trap of so focusing on being perfect that we miss out on the freedom that Jesus offers us. Because when I mess up, I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but when I mess up, I feel like I have to do something to make up for that mistake. And I focus on making sure that I do something to make up for that mistake. And Jesus is standing right beside me saying, dude, I paid for that. I gave you that freedom. I'm the Son of God. I set you free. You really are free. Be a part of the family of freedom, God's family. You have choices that you can make now, and you have hope for the future. The question is, how do we do that in our own lives? When playing this Care Bear game, I got stuck in death loop. But there are these little Care Bear spots. You can't see them super well, but they have pictures of Care Bears on them. And when you land on a Care Bear spot, you get to draw a Care Bear card, which is obviously awesome. And one of the things that the Care Bear card has on it is swap. And so, I never made it out of death loop myself. I couldn't do it. I never made it out. I was stuck here until I landed right here and I got a swap card. And poor Tate, he was like all the way up here near the finish line. And I was like, Tater, I'm sorry, bud. We're swapping places. And I know, poor Tate. It just wasn't fair. But it was awesome for me. I was pretty pumped. I was excited. But here's the thing. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He said, I've swapped you. You don't have to try to escape your own death loop. I've done it. I've paid for it. Live with the future in mind. Live with the hope. You're free. You're free. Freedom is always best lived, not looking at your past. Yeah, do better. Yeah, make improvements. But don't get stuck looking back there. Jesus already took care of all that. Look to the future where you have hope and the freedom to make choices now. And you have a hope for the future. And so when we get down to it, you're like, okay, great. How do we practically do that? And so I'm going to give you guys some techniques. They're just kind of things that have helped me and helped our family as I've navigated this with myself, and I've had some counseling along this area, and so I'm just going to pass some of these techniques along to you guys, take them or leave them, but they seem to work for me, they seem to work for our family, and help us kind of escape this death loop and live in freedom. And so to really do this practically, there are a few things that I do that I think would be super helpful for you. The first one is this. Remind yourself that your mistakes don't define you. Remind yourself that you are not defined by your mistakes. You're defined by what Jesus says about you. Yes, we make mistakes. That's part of life. And we can say, I made that mistake, and I can live toward the future and do better. But I'm not defined by it. It's not going to consume me. It's not going to be the thing that makes me me, because I know what makes me me. God made me me. And what you do, and what I have to do, is I have to literally tell myself this over and over and over and over and over. You know, and every time I come back to the loop, I just remind myself, I'm not defined by that. Second thing is this. Don't try to not think about our past mistakes. A lot of times what happens is, like, we get stuck and we think about a past mistake, like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. And then you're like, oh man, I shouldn't be thinking about not doing that. And it's impossible to not think about something that you're trying not to think about. Let me give you a perfect example of this. This is the example I was given. All right, are you ready? Do not think of a purple spotted elephant. Don't think of it. Don't let it come into your mind. Don't let it be in your brain. Don't even think about a purple spotted elephant. Now, my guess is every single one of you in here right now are picturing a purple spotted elephant in your mind, because that's the way our mind works. And so what we do is, when we have thoughts that come into our mind that remind us of our past, that make us feel less valuable than we are, that say, you are defined by this, we don't say, CJ, you can't think about that. Because when you say you can't think about, your brain hears, think about a purple elephant. And so what you do is, and there's a few different ways to do this. We like to use the idea of floating it down a river. All right, that thought came in that I am a horrible person. All right, I'm just going to let that float down the river. Now I'm going to put it on a boat, and I'm going to put a funny little hat on it, and CJ, being a horrible person, suddenly has a crazy hat on, and it's flowing down the river of my mind. Or some people say it's washing over me, and it's washing out. And it's just a reminder that you may, at times, have thoughts come into your mind that remind you of your past. And those thoughts may try to define you, and you can say, all right, I'm not going to try to not think about those thoughts. I'm just going to say, that was a thought, and now it floats. It floats away. It floats down the river. And then the third thing that you can do is you can remind yourself the truth of who you are. You can remind yourself that you are an awesome person. You can remind yourself that you are a good friend. You can remind yourself that you are loved, that you are a good son, that you are a good daughter. You can remind yourself that Jesus is taking care of your past. And when you start to use all of these techniques all together, they really do a great job of helping us avoid the death loop that sometimes our mind gets stuck in. We remind ourselves that we are us because God created us to be us. And so three things. We remind ourselves that our mistakes don't define us. We try to not think about things. We let them float down the river. And then we remind ourselves who we are. We're not defined by our mistakes. We're defined by the truth of who we are. And so the practical challenge this week is simply this. I want you to answer this question. If I truly allow Jesus to take care of my past and I focused on the freedom that he offers through the future, what would I want my life to look like 1 year from now? Or 2 years from now? Or 5 years from now? Or 10 years from now? And begin to think, all right, I've got the freedom. Freedom means I get to make choices now. It's this beautiful thing where I'm allowed to make choices, and I've got hope for the future. And I've got papers up here. You can take one if you want. You don't have to take one, but you are free to take one. And it's just got that question and then some space below. Jesus is taking care of our past. So we can look 1, 2, 5, 10 years down the future with hope, with confidence. We can say, man, God has some good stuff in store for us. That is the freedom that Jesus offers us. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for giving us freedom.